record now. Now it's on hold. I'll hold it up. There, now it's on hold.
Who's ready? Shut up.
You're hot.
Yeah. Thousands of people.
Good morning, everybody. And Jim was saying Steve asked me three weeks ago to be here today, and so I was like so thankful to have the opportunity again to be here with you. So today, I didn't bring any handouts today, so I want you to participate. I'm going to ask you to read some verses on the Bible, and then there's a time that probably you want to share something that I'm going to be doing. So today I have this about faith, and most of this about verses about faith and the New Testament that makes us some happen to my marriage life or to with Aura and I. And so I want to share, it's not like a testimony, but it has something to do with what happened a couple of years and what has been doing so long ago. So I want to share with you something, and I want you, like I said, to help me read in some verses on the Bible. So first, faith can move mountains. So I want you, somebody who can read Hebrews 11:1, please. Thank you, William. And now, who can read Matthew? There's Hebrews 11:1. Now I'm going to read Matthew 21:22. I have it on the screen. Does somebody want to read it from here?
In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive.
Okay, this is based in your faith. Like, faith is a confident look to the future based on reliance on God's promises. Faith is a summary of what faith does rather than a complete definition of faith. Faith provides a guarantee that our hopes have substance and reality. Faith orients us toward to the future and gives us courage to move forward. Faithfulness requires both holding fast and moving forward. The hope for things we are sure of are things that God has promised. The unseen things we are convinced of are things God has revealed. Essentially meaning that when you pray to God, you can accept to receive that what you ask for it. You truly believe and trust in His power to answer your prayers. It emphasizes the promise of faith in prayer and the assurance that God will respond to genuine requests made with a believing heart. If somebody can look for Luke 1:37, I'm just going to keep this up. It's not about only receiving, but the verses talks about receiving what you ask for. It is important to remember that true faith also involves aligning your desires with God's will. Jesus should say to his disciples as a promise. It's similar to what he said when he healed people, cast out demons, and perform miracles. The promise means trusting in God's power to do what He wants, aligning with God's will, trusting God to do what's best for us and the world. Who can read Luke 1:37, please?
I got it. For with God, nothing shall be impossible.
So what that means? That God's power, He can do anything considered impossible by human. Standards can be achieved, serving as a powerful reminder that faith in God allows for hope and trust, even in situations that seem very difficult or impossible. It's a declaration of God's limitless ability to fulfill his promise and bring about miracles. So here I want to make something that happened to my life when I was in middle school. Probably I was probably 13 or 14 years old. I was in my hometown with my mother in the house. I was doing homework. They took me probably 2 or 3 days. It was a lot of paperwork to do, handwritten. And by the time I have done, I was happy to have done. But then I realized I lost it. I didn't know where it was. So it was like I started taking all the places to the desk and the kitchen table. I was, and my mother noticed that I was not right. So she asked me what happened. And I said, I lost my homework. And she was, let's pray. And I was like, again, pray? Like, I was like a kid, like, I'm always prayed for everything. Like, everything, everything. So I was like, in my mind, I was like, again, pray? Now I don't have time to pray. But then we sat on the table and started praying. And my heart started going down. My mind started realizing it was all right. So she asked for prayer to find this paperwork, my homework and everything. So by the time we were done praying, I went to my room. I went to get some pair of socks or something. I opened the drawer, and my homework was there. So it was like, I don't know, it took less than, I don't know, 10 minutes probably after we prayed. So it was like, amazed.
I have a comment to that. So when we, as a therapist, when we work with people, you know, your mind, they call it ruminating, and and you get focused on something, and you go and go and go, and you can't stop your mind, and it just stops you from doing what you do. We try to teach them to do what we call a brain dump. You got to get all that out. And so for a Bible believer, if the client will allow me, I use prayer as the facilitator for a brain dump. When you start praying, the Lord, and you, it might take a minute or two to really connect with the Lord, but as you do, if you're able to empty your brain and it's calming, and then your brain starts making these the stuff that makes you feel, I can't think right now.
Dopamine?
Yeah. Thank you. And it is calming, and it calms your nerves and your organs. And so, yeah, when you get that way, when you get overwhelmed and you can't find something, you can't move forward, pray. Not just a quick prayer.
Yeah.
Sit with the Lord and pray. And empty your mind.
Thank you.
And fill it with what needs to be in there.
Thank you. So I want to share that small thing that happened when I was in, like I said, when I was probably in middle school and happened. And like, if you know mom, my mom, if you were with her a couple of years ago or something, you know she prays for everything. And so that's with faith. And so the next one is what happened. Then probably 10 years ago, or we were in the place we were living with my wife and kids. There was a guy who knew, I knew him, and he was working with me over 12 years probably. He was like a construction guy. He was a plumber. He was working with me doing some construction works, and he was working with me in my last job for over 9 years. So he's a good guy. And what happened to him one time, we were on the phone, and he was sad because he lost his wallet with all his papers, with all his documents and credit cards and everything. So he was like, and he is really a faithful man. His wife, she has, I believe she has the spiritual gift of prophecy. I'm going to tell you about that later on. And so I was like, it is weird you're telling me this and you're so sad and angry. You're a faithful man. You got to pray. So I tell him my story about what happened. I remember, I don't know what pooped up that when I was a kid and happened with my paperwork, with my homework. So I tell him that on my phone, what happened to me, that I pray. And I tell him, we can pray on the phone, or you can pray with your wife. If you want, I can pray with you also. And so he said, yeah, I'm going to do that. So he prayed with his wife. And then I didn't know anything about that day. So next day I asked him, what happened? You're not going to believe what happened to me. After we prayed, 5 minutes after we prayed, somebody knocked my door in the house. And they were giving my wallet back.
Wow, that's cool.
So it was like, remind me, like Jesus and God can answer real quick in small things, because like I say, my homework, I can have it done again. It's going to take me hours to do it a day, so I can do it. But the thing was, I got to take it to school next day. So it was like, I got to be up so late tonight, probably. And with his paperwork and with his documents, he can be able to go and redo it again with the government and IDs and everything. But it's a lot of time, a lot of money, probably. So
did he finally find his documents with his?
Yeah, everything was on the wallet. Hmm. Everything was on the wallet back. So he was so glad that it happened this way. So I want to share with you how God can work with the small things like those. And I'm going to share you later on what else, what's going on. So somebody can read Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, please.
Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Are you in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9?
Oh no, I'm in 14, sorry. I like that too though. That's not so far. Or Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
So this means that we are saved by solely by God's unmerited favor, received through our act of believing in Jesus Christ, and not by any works we can do ourselves, so that no one can boast about their own achievement is attaining salvation. It is entirely a gift from God. So this is more faith based on what we trust in God. Somebody can read John 3:6, please. Thank you. That's a memory verse.
Yeah.
So this essential meaning that God's immense love for humanity led him to sacrifice Jesus, and anyone who puts their faith in Jesus will receive eternal life, signifying that believing is the key to salvation and a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So this is like unconditional love, sacrifice of Jesus, whoever believes, and the faith is like a key. Who can read Romans 10, 17, please? And then somebody else can found 2 Corinthians 5, 7.
So this is Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Now, 2 Corinthians 5, 7.
For we walk by faith, and not by sight.
Thank you. Means that Christians should live their lives based on their belief in God and His promises, even when they cannot physically see the result, rather than relying solely on what they can perceive with their senses in the present. Essentially, it emphasizes trusting in the unseen realities of faith over tangible world around them. Like, what is walk by faith? This is like a metaphor for how we conduct our lives, meaning our actions can and decisions should be guided by our faith in God, but it's not by sight. This means that we should base our choices solely on what we can see or experience physically. And we can apply this, like, encourage Christians to trust God even when facing challenges or uncertainties, believing in His plans even if they cannot fully understand it. So here, I want to share again what happened 4 years ago with Aura and Matthew. He was only 3 months old. And again, I'm going to tell about my friend, wife, the guy who was working with me. Like I said, I believe she has the gift of prophecy. So one afternoon, I got this text message from her that she wanted to pray for me and my family. I was at work. And she said, I can come over there. They live close to there, and we have classrooms. I was working at university, so there were no classes at that time, no teaching at that time. So she asked me if I could, she can come over to pray, and I said, yeah, you can come. And I think she texted me before 2 days ago, and I was like real busy, and she insists. So I was like, okay, thank you, you can come. So she came at 2:30 in the afternoon. We went to a classroom with another guy who was with her, and another lady who was with her. And I don't really know if she knew all my kids' names, but she said, first thing, what's your little boy name? It's Matthew. Okay, I came today to pray for your wife, you, and for Matthew. And the thing is, that was on Monday, and on Wednesday we gotta go to Guatemala City to go visit pediatric in the city. And no one knew we were going. Only probably Aura's parents and her sister. But they were here in the States, and her sister were in the States. So there was nothing. Nobody knew that we were going to Guatemala City to visit this doctor. And the thing is, when Matthew was since he was like 2 weeks, then a month, then 3 months, we went to our regular pediatric, and he noticed Matthew start having like bruise marks all over his body. So he started panicking, and he said, "This is not normal," because he has too many every month. He has more bruise marks. Coffee or milk chocolate or real. So he said, you gotta go visit this neurologist doctor. She's a pediatrician. She studied with me, and you gotta go because this is a sign of what he calls neurofibromatosis. So we start looking online, Google what is going on, and the thing is, I'm going to go back, and she said to me, the lady who was going to pray with me, Matthew's going to be alright. Wow. And we didn't tell anybody what we were going to do. And she said, wherever you're gonna go, everything's gonna come up alright. Don't worry about it. So I was like shocked at that moment because nobody knew what we were going to. Yeah. So the day we went to Guatemala, and that doctor started doing some tests, different blood samples and things, and she said that his baby looks just normal. And the thing with this disease or thing is that probably can develop like learning disabilities, like walking late and probably not moving so good. And who knew Matthew It's all the opposite.
She's a little firecracker.
Oh, man. So after we went again, she asked us to go back again 3 months later when he was 6 months. And she kept doing those tests. Everything was all right. Then we went when he was 1 year old, and she said, he has the birthmark, but everything is all right. I don't see anything that is wrong with him. So he's going to be a just normal kid. So this is based on, if somebody can read Matthew 18:19, please. I have it on the screen.
Again, I say unto you, that if any of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven.
So you know what we did with my wife on the weekend? We were praying about Matthew. And this lady told me on Monday that Matthew was going to be all right. So I just want to share that that happened to us. And then, again, with Matthew, what happened? I mean, he is healthy. And then another thing happened to our lives. He was born during the pandemic, on the COVID. So we were almost ready to come here in 2020. And then Matthew was born. And all the U.S., all the government offices were so slow. In Guatemala, we're so slow, everything. And the U.S. Embassy in Guatemala, we went to get Matthew's passport, Guatemalan passport. Then we went online to make his appointment to the visa. And we did it probably when he was 9 year old. It was in 2020. And the appointment, the date for that was September 2024.
Oh, wow.
So we were like, we cannot wait until 2024. And we start tracking. We went to a travel agency to ask if they knew somebody in the U.S. Embassy, if we can do something else. And they said, that's the way it is because everything's too slow. So they are not having too much appointments a day. They are closing everything and they are not doing anything. So we cannot do anything. So I asked friends in Guatemala, my family in Guatemala, if they knew somebody in the embassy that we can go through, not jump the what was going on, but trying to help. Because the main thing, we were wanting to come here, we were planning this to come here since before 2020. And Pam always tell me, like, I was praying with your mother. I don't know what I was praying for, but now I know a thing. So you know, my family and my mother, we came basically to take care of her. And that was the main thing. And to give my kids a better life. The thing in Guatemala, that's a beautiful country. And the thing I already told you this, and there's nothing bad about Guatemala. But the economy is not good. There's so many crime. There is so many bad things going on. And if you can Google, I'm going to do an example. If you can Google the country of El Salvador, it's a Central America country. His president, he's doing so amazing things in his country. He's a businessman. And he's changing all these things. So if you can Google, he speaks really good English. And there's some Spanish on YouTube videos. And there's subtitles in English. Google him. He's a Nayib Bukele. That's his name. He's doing the things that Guatemala has been struggling, he changed it in 4 or 5 years. So now it's a country to live peaceful and do a business there or study there or whatever. So I'm going to go back to what happened to us here. The thing was, the day was until 2024, September. So we were praying about guide us to what to do. And where I was working, in a public university, and we did so many changes in 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I was there almost 10. We remodeled rooms, classrooms. We did a new classrooms. We did a lot of things. So all the governments were asking us for help to have their meetings on our place because we have air conditioner, nice bathrooms, cafeterias. They were not before. So there was this meeting with some government people, and the U.S. ambassador was invited to. So he was going to visit our place. And there was another international organization that they were going to come. And we were going to be part of it because we were going to show how a public university was before and how were we working there 5, 6, 7, 8 years, making changes for the students, making changes for the people who wanted to, because it is free education, it only costs $11 a year. So we were showing that we can do it. I'm going to tell like a small thing compared to what is going on in Salvador, like using the money to better produce and everything. So I'm going to go back with the ambassador, U.S. ambassador. He was invited to be with us. So I was like, Aura, this is our chance to try to do something. So we asked God to follow what I need to do, because I got to be with him in some place to tell him, okay, this is going on. I need your help. I'm a U.S. citizen, but I need help from you. So the meetings were on a private room with a lot of people. The news were there, cameras and reporters and things. And I knew these reporters because they were from the town that we were living. And by the time we were almost done the meetings, I have my copies of everything. I have my passport with me. I have the copies of the appointments, of the dates that we were needed to go to the U.S. Embassy. So we were in the private room, and there was another meeting. It was going on another meeting after a couple of minutes after. So these reporters, we took the ambassador to a private room, and I get in with the news reporters. So I was just the way, and they were asking questions. And then in the middle of something, I step up and have a short time with him private. And only was him and his assistant. And I asked him, I have something that I want to ask you something. Can you help me with this? So I explained to him what's going on. It was his assistant to his side. And he was like, can we do something? Oh, yeah, we can do something. Wow. So he was like, please, give your number. He said to his assistant, give your number to him. Share numbers, phone numbers. And yes, we can definitely can do something for you. So I'm going to tell you, I Googled him before, like who was him, where he was from and everything. And the thing, he studied some degree on Westminster's College in Fulton, Missouri. So by the time I started speaking with his assistants, I had an app, it's a message app. I have a back picture, and it was, we standing on the 2020 Super Bowl, not here, but we were wearing our Chiefs shirts. And, so he was like, you know the ambassador is a Chiefs fan? So we started speaking with the ambassador, like, you're a Chiefs fan? Yeah, I went to Missouri to study. I want to go to Missouri because my mother is close to Kansas City. Oh, really? So it was like, before this meeting, I was trying to find out. This meeting was not going to be work. I was going to try to find with mom to ask him in church if no one knows about somebody from Fulton or somebody from this Westminster College, probably someone went to this college, some family, some relative from here, probably went with him. I want to ask my brother to find out if we can find somebody here that was friend of him, so we can, so he can help us. But that was not needed. So he said, yeah, we can do it. So this, his assistants, we share numbers. I emailed him all the paperwork and everything. And probably like a week and a half later,
oh wow,
we have an email. And the date was not more, September 2024. It was June 2022,
23.
So it was
March.
I don't know. So it was way than more year. We were not needed to worry. It was year and a half before our date. So it was close. I mean, he pulled it up, like, I will say probably a year and a half before it was going to be. So it was like, how God can work, like I said before, in my homework, in this wallet of my friend, what happened with Matthew with this disease that he's not having, now with these papers that we needed. So he used it, God used it, our faith, to show how he is a faith, we can trust in him. So this is kind of what, something that I want to share. I'm going to keep going. So, and the ambassador is no more in Guatemala. He's in another country right now. But how I was asking for a minute to, with him, and I got it. And he was just, yeah, we can do it. All right. So now, who can read Mark 11, 22 to 25, please? And then who else have can panel Galatians 2:20? Mark 11, 22 to 25.
And the people of Jesus says unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whatsoever shall say this mountain, be thou removed, and thou cast into the sea, and shall have doubt in his heart, and shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
So what is this emphasized? That the power of having complete faith in God, where even seemingly impossible situations can be overcome through an unwavering belief, often described as mountain-moving faith. Remember the mountain we were looking at the beginning? Meaning that with true faith, one can believe God can highlight the importance of praying without doubt and trusting in God's ability to answer prayers fully. Who can read Galatians 2:20? And then someone else, James Moncrief.
I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Thank you. Now James 1:3. And someone else, James 2:14.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Now, James 2:14, and someone else, Matthew 17:20.
What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he do that faith which have not worked, the faith saved?
Thank you. Now, Matthew 17:20.
Thank you.
because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Thank you. So there's a picture of what a mustard seed looks like, and probably like a mustard tree. So again, the faith. And here are some verses that you can write on if you want to take it home and look for more verses about faith in the New Testament. So we can read Romans 5:1-2, and we're going to be done after we read Romans 5:1-2. Who can read the first one, Romans 5:1-2?
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, the rejoicing hope of the glory of God.
Thank you. So that's what I wanted to share today about faith and what happened to our personal life in my with my wife and kids. And right now we're going to ask somebody who wants to share, if somebody wants to share something like Pam was telling us before about praying. And so I want to ask if somebody wants to share something about faith this morning, you can do it.
I got something. Back when I was a kid, you know, I'm actually disabled. And when I was about 10, 11 years old, they were always trying to figure out why I was walking on my tiptoes on my left leg. And because every time I'd walk on my tiptoes, my left heel would hurt. So they were wondering why I was walking on my tiptoes all the time. And I don't know if anybody's ever heard of the Shriners, but my dad was a Shriner. So he had got to talk to, you know, these guys that would haul, these guys that would fly the plane for the Shriners to the Children's, for the Shriners Crippled Children's Hospital. And we were sitting at Shrine Club one night, and he got to talking to these guys, and he goes, "Dad," he says, "we're trying to figure out why my boy is walking on his tippy toes. Can't figure out why." So when I was about 10, 11 years old, the two guys asked my dad, said, "Well, we get him in the Shrine for the Children's Hospital, wouldn't cost you nothing." And he said, "Because you're a Shriner." And But they asked him, "Do you want us to haul him down there?" And Dad said, "No." He said, "I'll drive him down there." He drove all the way from Kansas City, cleared to St. Louis, about 250 miles. And he did this up until I was about 17, 18 years old. 15, 16, 17 years old. So basically what had happened, tendons was growing crooked in the back of my leg. It's supposed to grow straight, and it was growing crooked. So they went in, you know, opened the back of my leg up, and straightened it out. Of course, I was in a cast. Couldn't do nothing. Dead of summer, hot. You know, we're talking 100, 105 degrees. I was living because there was no air in the house. The only air we had was outside air. I couldn't do anything, couldn't ride a bike. Mm-hmm. So I came home, and some buddies of mine had rigged up a deal where I could ride my bike with one foot. So I'm trying to ride my bike with one foot. I don't want to ride my bike, you know. So they rigged up this deal where I could stick my foot out and ride with one pedal. And I did that for like 6 weeks. But you know, when I first got down there to the hospital, I cried because I didn't want my mom to leave. And she goes, "Don't cry," she says, "because you'll start me crying." And I'm like, "I can't help it, Mom." And I saw her and Dad leave and I just started crying. But, you know, she goes, but she was telling me, she goes, you know, she said, when you had that accident, she said, that was the first time that I'd ever put my faith in God. Wow. And I was like, you know, I said, I prayed too. You know, I put my faith in God when you put your faith in God. And once I put my faith in God, everything got better, you know.
Amen.
And so I come home, you know, of course I was miserable, couldn't go to the swimming pool, it was hot, you know. Dad was working on the garage, the only thing I had to do was go out and watch him work on the garage and play in the sand. But they always told me, don't get no sand down inside that cast because it'll make your leg itch. Here I am taking a toe hanger because my leg's itching and I'm scratching my leg, you know. Dad said, I told you not to get in sand, but, you know, I mean, I could tell that it was tearing their hearts out, you know. But I asked the doctor, I said, what would happen if I didn't get this operation? The doctor looked at me, he looked at my mom, he looked at me and he goes, if you don't get this operation, he said, you'll never walk again. 6 months later, I walked into his office and he goes, how'd you get in here? I said, I walked in here. He didn't think I'd ever walk again, and I did. Because, you know, I had that motivation and I had that faith and I just prayed to God, you know, please let me walk again. And I mean, it almost brings me to tears, you know, to think about that. So, you know, but my dad looked at me, I was laying in the hospital. Dad came in and he goes, you know, he said, I was praying with your mom to come out and be able to walk. And I'm like, wow. And we're talking a man that very, very rarely ever goes to church. You know, but he goes, I was praying every night. He said, because I wanted my boy. He said, I wanted my boy to be normal. He said, but I knew he couldn't be normal. And still today, there's things that I can't do. I get tired, you know. My leg gets tired.
God opened doors, so.
God opened doors. And the way I see that, God opened doors and he made me walk again. Because without his faith, I would not walk. And I mean, when I got the cast off, yeah, it hurt. I'd fall down and it hurt to get back up. But I pray to God and I'm like, please let me get up. Please let me walk. You know? That's part of my inspirational story.
Amen. Thanks for sharing that faith. Thanks for sharing that faith on you, Barry.
But everybody always wanted to know why I was disabled, and that's why. You know? What I just explained to you is why I'm disabled.
My daughter had the same thing. She was born with both feet, one foot, real bad. And we had the Shriner a Shriner that we knew came and said the same thing.
Yeah.
And she went to Children's Mercy and had two surgeries.
Yeah.
One totally cut her foot off and reattached it. Yeah, that's rough. That is really
But my mom wanted to wait until I got out of school for me to have the operation done, and I asked her, I said, why do you want for me to wait to get out of school? And she goes, because I don't want the kids making fun of you. Even though I was out of school, they still make fun of me, and it hurt, you know? It hurt my feelings because they were making fun of me, and I couldn't explain to them that I was disabled.
Yeah.
Especially about Paige. Doesn't know what it's really going on.
And that's why we need to walk. I walk with the wind. But if I walk for long distances, you know, if I'm standing on my feet or walking long distances, my leg gets tired and I gotta go sit in. So, you know, and it's still that way today. But I push myself. I push myself too far sometimes, you know, when I should just pray to God and say, God, please help me with this, you know. So, yeah, when you ask somebody to share like that, that's what came to mind.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Do we have time if somebody else wants to share something about faith?
I just think it's funny when I think to pray for little, when it's little stuff, you know, and then he answers so quickly. It's just like, okay, that was, you know, I mean, like seconds later or within a minute, like I can't find my keys nowhere, you know, and I'm looking and like, please God, I just stop and pray. And then it's like, I walk right over to it, you know. I love that. I love when that stuff happens.
Yeah.
It does happen.
Yeah.
I always look up and I say, God, I know that was you. Thank you.
Yes. Melinda, yes.
So we got to be a blessing to someone else. My brother's, you know, he has the electrical problem going on in his place. We didn't know. He asked me to bring some breakers. And we didn't get started on the road as soon as I wanted to. And then we was like, oh, well, let's go eat way down here half an hour. In Warsaw, which is not direct straight past my brother's, and so I prefer to go directly straight to my brother's. So it was 10 o'clock at night, we're coming down the back roads on the gravel, which I had been on before, but not in the dark. And there was a truck on the side of the road, and we could tell they were broke down. And so we said, hey, we need some help. And they're like, yeah, we've been here about 2 hours, and somebody's supposed to come help us, but they haven't made it here. And somebody's like, well, where are you headed? And they're like, we're going down to the Ozark Trail. So I knew where that was, but nobody. But anyway, I'm like, okay, well, we'll take you. By faith, I'm thinking, okay, this is 10 o'clock at night, but we'll get, you know, I don't know where it is, but I think I know where it is. So we loaded up all their groceries.
Wow.
And we had Balto with us. And we took them, and we could tell that they were in need because just by looking at them, they were all scruffy looking, and most people would have probably drove right by them, and the truck was really old. But anyway, so we brought them up there, and again, they said they'd been sitting on the road for 2 hours with their groceries, and they live right here, and my brother lives right down here. So it was like, God took us that path, which is a path I didn't really want to go, but we went it, and we helped them, and we were a blessing to them, and we prayed with them. We didn't leave them any Bible tracts, but we prayed with them, and then we went back the next day and checked on them to see if they got their truck home. And so someone that lives right up the stone's throw, their dogs actually came down and was playing with Balto and them the next day. So
it.
Planted a seed of faith, hopefully. And now I can call them and say, hey, can you check on my brother because he's not answering his phone? So hopefully, and then, yeah. And she's having a baby in September.
Wow.
Their daughter, so the people that we helped, their daughter lives with them, and she's having a baby in September. So we can wait for her also. So we'll see what happens.
Thank you very much. So I think we're done, and just to pray. Amit, would you pray? Is there anything else we need to?
We're good to go.
Would you pray for
the church? Father, we just thank you for the study we've had and sit you down with some of the people here. We just praise you, Lord, for watching and keeping us from day to day. And we thank you that you provide faith for us through Jesus. We just praise it in his name. Thank you for this day. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Shane online?
No.
Yeah, that was.
Actually, never guessed.
I just happened to be.
Yeah, we take it off the hold and then there we go.